Do you remember Martha Stewart? Do you buy her products anymore? Who do you say she is? Is she a crooked liar who participated in an insider trading scandal? Or is she a wonderful lady with great homemaking ideas who participated in a huge misunderstanding? Or maybe you remember Pete Rose. Should he be reinstated to baseball? Who do you say he is? Is he a no-good bum who knowingly bet on baseball and should be barred from the sport for life? Or is he sorry for what he has done and now fully deserves admission to the Baseball Hall of Fame? Everybody has their own opinion about these people. Different people believe different things about them. And while we have our opinions, the fact remains that is all they are, opinions. Opinions may be close to the truth. Opinions may be false. And still others may have a good mix of both. But opinions do not determine the objective reality of who a person is or what they may or may not have done. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus asks his disciples what the people are saying about him. They report different opinions people have concerning who Jesus is. Jesus asks the question not out of mere curiosity, but because the answer is especially important. This is not a matter of opinion, but of objective reality. This is an issue of faith. Faith or lack thereof in the Messiah whom God has sent into the world. The answer to the question is just as important today as it was 2,000 years ago. So let me ask you, who do you say he is? We turn to our text, and in verse 13, we find Jesus turning to his disciples on that dusty road to Caesarea Philippi, asking, who do people say the Son of Man is? Jesus is referring to the massive crowds that had been following him. And the disciples tell him what had just reached their ears. Some say John the Baptist. Well, no doubt these people knew about John. If they had not heard his preaching directly, then they had certainly have heard of him. The manner of his death, how Herod beheaded him, was really no secret. Yet, here was another man who preached a message that was hauntingly familiar. So familiar, in fact, that people believed that Jesus was John the Baptist, come back from the dead. This certainly was the view of Herod in his house, as evidenced in Mark 6. Talk about your sins coming back to haunt you. Others say Elijah. It was the belief of the day that God would send the prophet Elijah back to Israel to prepare for the coming Messiah. This is based on the prophecy of Malachi 4:5. Now, we know the fulfillment of this prophecy to be John the Baptist. Their answer indicated the high regard they had for Jesus. He was thought of as a great prophet, but he must be the forerunner of the Messiah because he just doesn't quite fit the bill of who they expected the Messiah to be. The text goes on. And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Like Jeremiah, Jesus was a man who preached God's word in truth and authority. Both spoke the word and suffered because of it. Once again, we see a positive view of Jesus. But once again, he is not thought of as the Messiah who saves. For the third time, the answer of the people falls short. Now, you might feel bad for these folks who just don't seem to get it. You might wonder, how could they miss it? What's right in front of their eyes? How in the world could they not recognize who Jesus was? That phenomenon continues in our day. People have a positive regard for Jesus, but they miss the mark altogether. You can speak of Jesus as a prophet, a holy man, a teacher, a spiritual leader, and few will object. But speak of him as Son of God, Savior from sin, the only way to heaven, and multitudes of people will line up to voice their disapproval. A billion Muslims will say, prophet, yes. God? No. Jews scattered across the world will say, teacher, yes. Messiah? No. Liberal theologians and other humanists will exclaim, exemplary man, yes. Great example, yes. Divine Son of God? Savior from sin? No way. Saying Jesus is a prophet, a teacher, or a good example are all nice things to say about him. They are all positive remarks. But if that is the extent of their answer, then the answer is wrong. The people of Jesus' time got it wrong. The people of our day get it wrong. They do not understand, nor do they confess who Jesus really is. So what is the correct answer? Who is this man, Jesus? Well, our text tells us. He goes on, and Jesus asks the question of his disciples, but who do you say I am? Where does the rubber hit the road right now? Who do you say Jesus makes all the difference? A correct confession of faith in Christ is of paramount importance to your salvation. And Jesus asks each of us, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, you got to love Peter, as he often does, speaks up, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Finally, someone got it right. Way to go, Peter. For all the occasions when Peter messes up stuff and says the wrong thing, Peter nails it here. I had one professor say, I believe the only reason he, being Peter, ever opens his mouth is to switch feet. But today, what is in Peter's mouth isn't his foot or a foolish word, but a pure and true confession of Jesus Christ as his Savior and his God. What sweet words. What a glorious confession of his Lord. What is the response of Jesus to Peter? He doesn't praise Peter for producing the right answer. He doesn't congratulate him on figuring out what so many people missed. No, Jesus just states the truth. He points Peter to the source of his confession and says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. This bold confession of Peter, this bold faith of Peter, did not come from Peter. He did not produce it on his own. It was a gift from God. No human being can come to a saving faith on their own. It is always a gift from God himself. Jesus then renames Simon and calls him Peter. The word in Greek is Petros, which means rock. And Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, people have mistaken this to mean that Peter is the rock upon whom the church will be built. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The grammar of the sentence is clear, that the rock upon which the church will be built is not Peter, but the confession and faith that God had given to Peter. It is upon faith in Christ that the church shall always be built. Faith that recognizes Jesus as Savior from sin and Son of God. Faith in the one who is the rock. But what about you and me today? Jesus didn't ask this question to his disciples of his day only. No, he asks it to each of us this day. The question rings down through the ages and echoes in our ears this morning. Who do you say I am? And I would guess that most everyone here and most everyone listening online would confess with Peter that Jesus is their Savior, the Son of the living God. This faith is not from yourselves. You didn't cook it up on your own. This faith is a gift to you from God Himself. Jesus has called you by name as well in the waters of your baptism, either as an adult or a child. God has called you by name to be part of His eternal family. Your gift of faith in Him and against your God-given faith in salvation, even the gates of hell will not prevail. What a promise! What a great comfort. The promise given to Peter is the same promise given to you. Thanks be to God that His promises are certain, even when we as sinful human beings stumble and falter. The reason I mention that is because of what comes next in our reading next week. Peter, after his wonderful confession of faith in Christ, and after receiving the promises of God, goes right back to his sinful and errant ways. The very next paragraph on the page tells how Jesus began to explain what he must go through to fulfill his role as our Savior. Jesus teaches them the heart of the gospel. Jesus must be betrayed. Jesus must be handed over to the authorities. Jesus must be beaten, crucified, and rise from the dead 3 days later. This is how the Messiah was going to save the world. And Peter was stunned. He would have no part of it. He was so upset and so stubborn on this issue that he even interrupted Jesus, took him aside, and began to rebuke him. The reply of Jesus cuts to the heart. "Get behind me, Satan!" Jesus had heard this line before. In his temptation in the desert, someone else, namely Satan, tried to dissuade him from his appointment with the cross. To deny the cross as the only way of salvation is to join into the sinful scheme authored by Satan himself. By Peter's reliance on his own understanding, he denies the necessity of the cross and commits the sin of denying the very faith he just professed. I'm guilty of that. We're all guilty of the same sin. By grace, we have a God-given saving faith in Christ. But like Peter, when we rely on ourselves rather than God, we fall into this deadly trap of sin. When we say that Jesus is our Lord and then live lives on our own terms and by our own rules, we deny our faith. When we say that Jesus is our Savior and then harbor the belief that our good works have earned God's grace and that we somehow deserve His favor, we wipe our feet on what He has done for us. When we claim that Jesus is the Son of God and then keep silent about Him so that we don't offend anyone, we have committed the same sin Peter did when he denied Christ 3 times the night he was betrayed. If our salvation depended upon us, we would be in a hopeless situation. We would be lost forever. But thanks be to God, His promises do not depend on our efforts. His gift of grace is given freely, even to those who are ungrateful at times. He is the rock, an unmovable foundation, and our sin is not going to shake his love for each of us. Peter, you, me, we're all in the same boat. We've been given God's gift of faith. God's promises are real in our lives. We have the hope of life everlasting. And even when we mess up, when we get it wrong and utterly fail, our loving God is there with his arms wide open. Arms that were once pinned to a cross, now reach out in a loving embrace to forgive and restore fallen sinners like us. For the times we get it wrong, Jesus got it right. For all the times we utterly fail, Jesus succeeded. For all the times we completely messed up, Jesus completely fixed it on the cross once for all of us. The sacrificial love of God's Son is the foundation upon which the church has been built. It is on this rock that our salvation rests. By faith, it is here that we stand, now and for all eternity. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? It makes all the difference in this life. And thanks be to God because of what he has done. It makes all the difference in the next. Amen.